The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter, beginning with verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." In the name of Jesus, dear sons and daughters of God, the Word of God serving as the basis of our meditation we've just heard, written by the Holy Spirit through the evangelist John. Our meditation this morning is titled, "Victory in Jesus, Born Again by the Labor Pains of Jesus." There is, deep down inside of us, a desire to be accepted, a desire to be welcomed, a desire to be a part of the people around them. And that's why we're careful. That's why we're guarded. And that's what was happening to Nicodemus. I don't know if you caught it, but it's rather interesting. In our gospel reading, we hear this. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Boy, talk about some credentials. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him. So as Jesus was going about the Judean countryside, loving, healing, and forgiving, news was getting around. I mean, he was doing things that other rabbis couldn't do. And it was spreading. It was good news. And as people were hearing about what this rabbi from Nazareth was doing, as they were hearing these bits and pieces, the Holy Spirit was working within them a kind of confidence in him, an interest in him. And we get a glimpse of it with Nicodemus. "We know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." So this incredible news, getting around in bits and pieces, showing who Jesus is, got into some places where for some it was not to be allowed. It got into the religious elite. It got around in their circles. And Nicodemus was one who was a part of them. And that's why he has to be so careful, so guarded, because not everyone in his community had anything good to say about Jesus. Isn't it interesting to think how hearing about what Jesus did drew Nicodemus to Jesus? That's what evangelism does, is we tell people what Christ has done for all. As we give them the bits and pieces of what Jesus does, they're drawn to him. They can't help but go. They can't help but see. And that's what Nicodemus is going through right now. And it's fascinating. We talk about the four Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and they heat up, kind of warm up the water for people to realize, boy, this Jesus is God. And John's Gospel is different. Boom, right out of the chute. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God. All things were made by him, and so forth. Jesus is God in flesh and blood right away. But what is fascinating about John's Gospel is how John warms up the water for us who are very careful and very guarded, which just comes natural to us. We can relate to Nicodemus. How many ways can we be filled with anxiety? How many ways can fears abound in your life and my life so that we're just careful? I mean, the answer is legion. Being bold doesn't come naturally to us. And learning how to grow in faith takes time as well. You see, there was a lot of pressure for Nicodemus in his day and his time. We talk about peer pressure these days, thinking that somehow it is associated with just teenagers, but there's plenty of peer pressure for all of us here in our own lives. Why was Nicodemus so careful? We hear in John chapter 12 an interesting exchange. As soon as I get to it. On Wednesdays, we're looking at the passion account of our Savior. And traditionally, we identify that as chapter 12, where Jesus comes to his hour. Remember when he turned water into wine, he said to his mother, "It's not my hour. My hour has not come." In chapter 12, it does. And we see what's going on as Jesus starts seriously going the way of the cross, and all the things he says that one last week. It's just half of John's Gospel is the last week of our Savior's life. And we hear the kind of pressure that people like Nicodemus was facing. In chapter 12, verse 42, you know, John, we hear about Jesus, what he's focusing on, thinking about that last week. And then we hear how John is framing it, gives us kind of the paradox of salvation. And then how salvation is found in Christ. And then we hear this in verse 42. "Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than praise from God." You know, we're supposed to have an audience of one who loves us. But how many ways do we give in and go along and throw God under the bus because we want so much to be accepted by those around us, or to be with the in crowd, or to go along just because it's easier, because if we don't go along, we have to roll up our sleeves and handle things? How many ways does that move you to repentance? Amen? God would have us focus on him. God would have us live for him instead of being so concerned about how we're presented by those around us. And yet all of us can buckle under that kind of pressure, just like Nicodemus. I mean, we get it. We can understand. Even if anxiety and fear of stepping out or looking like an outsider is not appropriate, they still bind and kill us. We can't blame Nicodemus for his self-defense. We certainly don't want to blame our own self-defense, but we need to trust in the one who is our audience, that loves us completely and deeply and over and across everything and anything we are. It is him alone that we serve. And what's fascinating is in John's gospel, it's as if Jesus is warming up the water, drawing all these people from all these different places, even among the religious ruling class of the day and the time. Earlier on in John's gospel, chapter 9, the disciples see a blind man and they say, which sinned, this guy or his parents, that he would be born blind? Pretty bad theology. But Jesus said, neither this or that, neither this man nor his parents, but that God would be glorified. And what's fascinating is what Jesus does to the blind man actually gives him a boldness and a confidence to just be a follower of Jesus, talk about things honestly and openly. And that's, I think, one of the beauties of John's gospel. Do you think that the same thing will happen to Nicodemus? Do you think he'll be drawn out of the shadows, out of the darkness, no longer so controlled by the peer pressure of his day, not afraid of being excommunicated from the congregation or the synagogue he was a part of and the group he was a part of? You know, it's fascinating. It was Jesus doing it, going about the Judean countryside, cutting across all the social strata of the day, loving, healing, and forgiving, drawing people from all kinds of places, unlikely places, Jews and Gentiles alike, because that's what he came to do. It's fascinating. So their conversation, Jesus talks about being born again, born by water and the Spirit. Nicodemus has a hard time figuring that out. But then the rest of John's Gospel, chapter 3, we hear a controversy over purification. And then we hear about how John the Baptist, who is baptizing, says he must decrease while Jesus increases. And then, you know, we hear about the testimony of John. And then we hear about how the disciples are going about baptizing, although Jesus isn't baptizing anybody. So how are you born again? In the waters of holy baptism. Many of us were born again long ago. And the only one who can remember what took place was God. Our first birth, thanks moms, through your labor pains, we were brought into this world. But it's through the labor pains of Jesus on the cross that we are born again. And he has attached all his gifts to that, an amazing gift. There's so much more to baptism than meets the human eye. God places his name on us, washes our sin away, adopts us into his family. You know, it's almost as if when we're baptized, God says, you are my precious child. I have adopted you into my family. You are mine. I have placed my name on you. I've washed all your sins away. I will care for you all your days, but you're going to find this hard to believe. There are things that are going to happen to you in your life and to you in this world that will make you wonder and doubt and wish and try to figure out for yourself. But nevertheless, I have made you my own, and I will never forget you. You are mine. And that's really what your life and my life is all about. It's being renewed in the new birth that we have had. God has gathered us here today so that we can be renewed in baptismal grace, so that we can, in a way, remember who we are and whose we are, trusting that no matter what we're going through right now, he has promised to take care of us. I mean, think about it. Think about it. 75 years old, and he moves everything he has. How would you like to be Abraham at 75? Anyone say no thanks? Yeah, I talked to a friend of mine out in California. I said, hey, can I put you on a call list in Texas? And the response was, it's too hard to move. Can we relate? Can we relate to that? It's pretty hard to change. It's pretty hard. So how in the world did Abraham do it? He did it not on the basis of works, as we heard earlier. He did it purely on the basis of faith. He trusted in God. You see, God is the promise maker and the promise keeper and the promise deliverer. And that makes us the promise receivers and the promise believers. And so when the going gets tough, he trusted in what God had promised and he continued on. Not so guarded. Not so careful. But risking security and comfort and going forward where God would have him and his huge family go. Do you think it was easier to move back then than it is now? I don't think so. Do you suppose there were things that Abraham could just work through quicker on his digital device? Oh, he didn't have one. I mean, it was not easy. And so even now, it's not easy. And so we go forward by faith, trusting in what God has done in giving us new life in Christ, leaning on his victory, celebrating our new life in the labor pains of Jesus, and then trusting in the Lord. In a few minutes, we're going to be looking at the Apostles' Creed. And if the Ten Commandments teach us what we're supposed to do and showcases how we fail and need salvation, the Apostles' Creed showcases all that God does and has done that has made us a part of his family in terms of creation and redemption and in sanctification. And so, like Abraham, we are children of faith, trusting in what God has promised, living out our identities as the baptized, trusting in what God is going to do. When we're in the thick of challenges, when we're tempted to be guarded and careful and go along with the crowd, God would have us understand that we have an audience of one and that we can go forward in faith, trusting in what he has promised in our lives, in our marriages, in our parenting. Because God has given his promises to us. You know, in some ways, it can be just as hard moving from one state to another in some of the things of our life where we have to move from certain attitudes or challenges that we keep putting off because we want to be safe, because we want to be guarded, we want to be careful. You know, God has gathered us here today around Word and Sacrament. We call it Gottesdienst, God's service to us. While there are opportunities for us to respond to God in faith, we are here so that our faith is strengthened. You know, in a few moments when we look at the small catechism, I want you to have this ringing in your mind. It takes faith to say that God provides for me when it looks like I'm a day late and a dollar short. It takes faith to trust that God is going to lead and guide when you're going to deal with a grandparenting issue or a parenting issue or a marriage issue different than what you've been dealing with and doing. Stepping out of our comfort zone in courage and in faith is what Jesus is doing in John's gospel. So where are you in the strength of Christ's victory? Going to be less guarded and more open and honest and just willing to live with your audience of one? You know, it's interesting how Jesus changes lives. How many people did he draw to him? How many ways were there changed? We don't know a lot about a lot of the encounters, but we know more about Nicodemus. And I want to share this with you. Nicodemus, the one who hid, the one who wanted to be careful and guarded, the one who didn't want to be so courageous, living in relationship with God and the Messiah. But it changed. And in John chapter 19, we encounter this. This is right after the death of Jesus. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jews. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. That was in public. Joseph's no longer hiding. He realized he has an audience of one. He was accompanied by Nicodemus. Almost makes the guy want to cry. The man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it. You wonder what the store owners were saying. Well, who died in your family? Nicodemus. Oh, I'm buying this for the rabbi out at Golgotha who just died. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid, because it was the Jewish day of preparation. And since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. For some of you, it's been too long ago, but there was a radio commentator years ago who would give more of a story about a famous person, and he would explain more, and then he would end by saying, "Now you know the rest of the story." But here's Nicodemus, the one who was a fearful follower, who was drawn to Jesus and turned into a full of faith follower with courage to step away from the crowd, to understand he had an audience of one who would simply do what needed to be done out of love, not minding the cost, but rather just acting out in love for his Savior. But it's really not about Nicodemus anymore. It's about you. It's about me and how we respond to all that Christ has drawn us to understand in our lives. Where is he drawing you out? Where is he making you stand a little bit out of sync with those around you? Where is he giving you courage to speak truth to others and to live in the truth and be a blessing to all the lives that you touch? You know, each one of us in a few moments will scatter back into our lives where the bulk of our mission and ministry activity is carried out. Where are we still afraid? Where do we still want to go along and get along? May the Lord Jesus continue to draw us to himself, renew us in our baptismal life to the glory and praise of our Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, that peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.